Hello, and welcome to the Rested With An Eye podcast, where we explore travel time rather than destinations and the joys and surprises of shared transport. For many, traveling on buses, boats, and trains is now a lifestyle choice. My name's Mark Selby. I love the theatre of travel, discovering the stories of journeys and learning how people use their travel time. It's a small world. We often enjoy travelling alone together, secure beneath that cloak of anonymity and perceived invisibility. Headphones, books and screens providing barriers to unwanted disturbance. And with eyes closed, our isolation is almost assured. But just occasionally, we're isolating ourselves from discoveries as well as the negative distractions. Horace Walpole referred to serendipity as observation with sagacity. It's not so difficult to do. In fact, the clues around us seem obvious with hindsight. Wearing headphones on a walk isolates us from the songs of unseen birds in the trees. That doesn't mean there's a nightingale on every corner, but if we listen, occasionally we might hear one. Last year, my wife and I toured Japan by train. We were visiting the temples and museums of Nara and stopped for a drink in a bar. We heard the delightful and distinctive Welsh accents of two women with their guide. The Welsh accent is sung rather than spoken. We didn't speak with them as they were just leaving. By chance, a few days later, waiting to board our flight home to London, the two women from Nara joined the queue. We asked one of them where she was from, and she replied, Merthyr Tydfil, in South Wales. Now, my dad was a Bevan boy in South Wales during the Second World War, conscripted to go down the coal mines rather than into the armed forces. He'd lived in Herwine and worked nearby. She knew the village well and had spent much of her youth in the Glankinian Inn there. I'd visited the inn with Dad late in his life, once enjoying the glorious sound of the local male voice choir singing just for pleasure in the bar. The landlord, Alan Evans, was a larger-than-life character who co-founded the Penderyn Distillery, the home of Welsh whisky, just up the road. He took a genuine interest in Dad and stayed in contact with him for years. The woman at the airport had known Alan well. It's a small world, and often we only realise these connections by speaking with strangers. Just as the sound of a Welsh accent can cause me to start a conversation, there are so many visual clues that prompt others. They might be intentional signals of affinity or interest, such as clothing, branded bags or books. Carrying a vinyl album was invariably a statement of the bearer's musical taste. Once, at Deptford Station in London, it prompted a conversation between two young travellers who recognised each other from school. The Chuck Berry album was held by Keith Richards, and Mick Jagger approached. Discovering their mutual respect for Berry, the Rolling Stones' journey was about to begin. On my business travels, I've learnt that it's best to travel alone rather than with colleagues. With colleagues, conversations tend to be a continuation of office talk. I find myself travelling in a too familiar cocoon. Travelling alone increases the likelihood of meeting interesting people and discovering the unknown. Yes, there have been brushes with celebrities, but the most interesting encounters have been quite different. They include the farmer who first made me aware of bovine TB challenges, the English groundsman who farmed catfish in Thailand each winter, the sake sommelier. The list of surprises grows each week. If I don't want to talk, the time is mine to do what I want. Our regular journeys invariably follow the same routes and modes of transport, day in, day out. They're selected for reasons of efficiency or cost, rather than fun or inspiration. If it's commuting to work, the journey may be repeated for years with trusted alternatives in the event of common hold-ups. Our surroundings on these regular trips become very familiar. But it's strange how little many of us know about the areas we travel through. We know the fronts of buildings on streets, but despite years of passing them, we'd have difficulty describing what's behind those walls. The shops, parks, museums, places of worship and more, lying with 100 meters of the road we know so well. Stepping off the known route, just occasionally, can reveal hidden worlds, new perspectives, and playful adventures. We might not complete our journey with the usual efficiency, but there's every chance we'll arrive at our place of work with a new idea or insight. Travelling further than the straight line allowed. As we were released from our COVID lockdowns and allowed to take short walks from home, I wonder how many of us discovered things about the area we live in. Roads that we'd never used, buildings that we'd never noticed before. Isn't it strange how blind we are to what's around us? We see buses in our towns and know their final destination, but not where they've come from or the routes they take. My house sits on a hill that can become impassable in heavy snow and ice. A few years ago, during a particularly cold spell, my neighbours and I regularly walked in the road on our errands. We'd meet and talk, sharing updates on vulnerable neighbours, shopping for them, sharing spare heaters, and popping in for chats. Impromptu gatherings and parties took off. Then came the thaw, and we returned to driving cars rather than walking. Yes, we waved to each other from our cars, but the conversations declined. The isolation of cars returned, and human intimacy waned, despite the warmth of our waves behind windows. The convenience of cars reduces human engagement, especially when there's just one occupant. Thankfully, we can enjoy the theatre of shared travel. Last night, I sat on an almost empty bus, a route home that I'd never tried before. A mother sang a lullaby to her young child in a language I didn't recognise. The mother's voice was beautiful, and the child was mesmerised. Soon, I was too. Whoever you were, thank you for a wonderful journey. The anthropologist Kate Fox says we risk being deemed drunk, drugged or deranged if we initiate conversations with our travellers. But we don't need to speak. We can remain under that cloak of anonymity and simply listen to the conversations around us. I love it when someone is telling a funny story to a neighbour on a bus or train, surrounded by supposedly hidden strangers, focusing on their screens, wearing earbuds or with eyes closed. The story's punchline is a cracker, and suddenly the invisible strangers smile or even laugh. We've all had to suffer someone speaking loudly on their phone, but just occasionally it's fascinating. And I'm not just referring to a caller's exposure of confidential information and tidbits about colleagues or their clients. John from London tells me of a recent train trip he took with a loud caller nearby and a cliffhanger of a story. The speaker had been called in to work on a client's site with a heavily pregnant colleague on a bank holiday. The office was empty as they undertook their work. Then the colleague started having contractions. It was her second pregnancy, and last time the labour had been very short. She realised that delivery was imminent and focused on her breathing. Our loud caller had no experience of delivering a child, dialed emergency services, and tried to remember his limited first aid education from school. He ran to the bathroom for water and towels, and then the train went into a tunnel and phone reception was lost. Carriage passengers were gripped by the story and urged the caller to tell them what on earth happened next, to the caller's surprise. It transpired that the ambulance arrived as the birth began, and mother and child are well. Ah, the theatre of travel. We can easily communicate without speaking, walking down a busy platform into an oncoming stream of people. Catch momentary eye contact with someone walking towards you and give a smile. Avert your look and keep walking. The stranger will probably mirror your smile. Smiling is contagious. Don't let the smile linger unless you want to convey something else. Brevity is key. You're passing on some happiness rather than flirting. And remember the drunk, drugged, or deranged perception. We're all in the theatre of travel, observing and observed. As we read our screens, looking out of the window or listening to podcasts, give a smile. Others will catch it. And the stories being created around us can be delightful, as Caroline from Auburn in England reminded me with this story of romance. Leah and Vince first met on a local train that I regularly take to Reading. They were going on their first date. Leah explains, "We went for a coffee and then a pizza and just got on really, really well. On the way back, Vince was getting off at Wokingham. He went to leave and then ran back and kissed me. I knew from that first date we had something special." In March 2024, the couple married on board a Great Western train from London Paddington to Wales, a first in Britain. The happy couple and their wedding guests celebrated with a special three-course meal served on the train. The wedding night was spent at the Georgian Hotel in Swansea, followed the next day by a tour of the Penderyn Swansea Copperworks Distillery, the company co-founded by Alan Evans, that wonderful landlord in Herwine. It's a small world. Until next time, enjoy your travels. Thank you for listening to the Rested With an Eye podcast. Please subscribe on your preferred podcast service and share with a friend. I look forward to hearing from you and sharing your travel stories. Please email restedpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to everyone that has contributed to Rested With an Eye so far. Enjoy your travel time.